Well, Joanna's doing pretty good this morning, but she didn't want to come and be cough and disturb everybody, so I told her to come anyway. But anyway, she's doing a lot better. I got a telephone call this morning from Jeff, and anyway, he's really getting a good understanding of some major things in the scriptures. And one of them is the humanity of Christ. And so he keeps running into these scriptures. Now, I have I'll reword it. I've come to a conclusion. And the conclusion is that the scriptures are not really difficult if people have eyes to see and ears to hear. The revelation of the humanity of Christ is a very simple and plain revelation. It's not difficult. But if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, and I want to read you a passage. I'll read you what Jeff read to me this morning out of the 24th chapter of Luke. And it's the last chapter of Luke, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And we keep this in context a little bit. Remember the two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus, and they were carrying on a conversation, and they were kind of perturbed about, you know, what had happened. They didn't understand. And neither does anybody else. These things are mysteries in God. I mean, God does what he does for his reasons. They're perfect. And we're human. And so anyway, as they're talking, they're joined by Jesus, but they don't recognize him. And so after a while, they came to Emmaus, and they sat down, or they were going to eat, and he said the blessing, and when he did, they recognized him, and he disappeared. And so now this is after dark, and they're so excited. I mean, they've walked hard to get to Emmaus. They're so excited that they go all the way back to Jerusalem. And, you know, it says, in that hour, they rose up, they went back to Jerusalem. And they met the other disciples. And anyway, from that point, I'll say what happened here. It says, And they told him the things that were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they spoke, now they went all the way back to where the disciples were. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And he said unto them, peace be unto you. What a welcome sight. Excited. You suppose they were really, really excited? They were terrified. Scared out of their wits. And it says, they supposed that they were seeing a spirit. Now, listen. Let's get this in our heads. What has happened is, deity is in their minds. He must have turned into deity. How could he be dead, rise from the dead, and not be deity? How could he not be the second member of the Trinity? And they said, they supposed that they had seen a spirit, an angel, a deity, a God. That's what they supposed. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And then he said, behold my hands and my feet, and that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. See, the conclusion would be, from this setting, that he can't possibly just be a man. He had to turn into something else. And that is what has happened to a whole society, for a whole world system, for years. Jesus could not possibly have any longer been a man. He had to become something else. And Jeff read these to me this morning, and he says, "Why is this so hard to see?" And I laughed and I said, "Jeff, it is so hard to see that it took me years to see it." I have a message, maybe this evening, hopefully, that I want to bring. But anyway, the title of it is The Plain Truth. I begin to realize how plain the scriptures are becoming after we start having a love for the truth and have eyes to see and ears to hear. It changes everything. And so, anyway, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while he yet believed not for joy, they were having a hard time yet, and wonder, he said unto them, now he's going to give them one more evidence of this thing. Do you have any meat? Do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. We don't think of eating honey from a honeycomb, but that's what they did then. And he took it, and he did eat it before them, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And then the script, you know what he said, and this is also in Luke. He says that, he said it in Matthew and Luke, I think. But he says, "The law and the prophets were until John. After that, the kingdom of God is preached." The kingdom, see, Jesus and John the Baptist both, when they began preaching, they said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He was introducing the thing that he wants us to be a part of. He wants us to become a part of his kingdom. Now, I'm going to... this probably won't be the last time that I mention this thing here, but I have also another revelation and a conclusion. And the conclusion is, we really don't know how to pray. We really don't. And God is so awesome and so wonderful and big. See, there's no way possibly that I can worship God. It's impossible. Because I don't really know the extent. I'm not even sure what I'm worshiping. And Jesus told the woman of Samaria, he said, "You don't know what you worship. You don't even know what you worship or who you worship. Join the club." And so, anyway, let me give you a revelation. And this here, we are going to concentrate on helping people whosoever have not received the Holy Spirit, help them receive it, and pray. Keep praying for them. We want to do that. And it's not that this is an issue, but let me tell you what happened. In the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, it says that with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Will he speak to this people? He said, "For this is the rest, wherewith you rest, the weary rest. This is the refreshing." And anyway, in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, you know, I'd like to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to, but in verse 26, it says, "The Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." We don't know how to pray. That's what I just said a minute ago. All I was doing is just copying what I'd already seen here. "But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now, what happens is we are body, soul, and spirit. And so when it says in John 4:24, "They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth," it finally, in the middle of the night, the other night, it came to me. I understood. We must worship Him in our spirit. Our spirit must worship Him. And that is the reason, and what God has done because of our weaknesses, our infirmities, our shortcomings, whatever it is about us, God has given us something that He can worship Himself through us in our spirit. Let me read this right here. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now listen to the next verse. And He that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Are you following what I'm reading here?
I'm not.
You get it?
No.
Oh. Let me read this again. It says, the Spirit makes or helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings, the Spirit. Where is He? He starts praying through us. That's what tongues are about. With groanings which cannot be uttered, and He that searches the mind, the hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I have prayed in tongues for 50 years. It wasn't until 3 or 4 days ago that I had any clue as to what I was doing. To obey is better than sacrifice, but you know what? I didn't really understand. God knows that I can't pray. He knows I don't even know. You know, here I am. I'm praying for whatever I'm praying for. But the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God, because God knows what needs to be done, not me. So I go to worship God. And it says they must worship Him in spirit. My spirit is the one that has to be worshiping. And God knows what is in the mind of my spirit and the Holy Spirit. And He makes intercession. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for my needs according to the will and the mind and the plan and the purpose and the intents of God.
Lord, yes.
Amen. Well, I tell you, if you don't understand it, I'm just starting to. I'm just starting to understand this thing. So with stammering lips and another tongue, tongues, will He speak to this people? And still they did not understand Him. How can you? For 50 years, I've been trying to, and it's only a few days ago, you know how I began to understand the Scriptures. And now I'll show you the Scriptures that I in the middle of the night, the Scriptures are coming. I just happen to know these. And see what you can do with them. God wants us to receive the Holy Spirit. Paul did, but I don't think he had tongues right away. Later on, he did. And I have seen people receive Pablo has been praying to get the Holy Spirit. You know what? He has all the evidence of having it. And I've seen that before people ever started speaking in tongues. But anyway, here's what it says. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, this is in 1 Corinthians 14:2, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, because in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. In the human spirit. See, we are body, soul, and spirit. And the Spirit, James said, the body without the Spirit is dead. It's not the electrical impulses that keep the body going, as the doctors assume. It's the Spirit that God has put in us that keeps us alive. And it is that Spirit that we don't even recognize that is the recipient of tongues, of getting filled with the Holy Spirit. That spirit gets filled with God's spirit. And from that point on, then we, you know, and so here it is. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. In his spirit. In the human spirit. And in verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edify, edifice, building, structure. He brings about, you know, he's uplifted, he's strengthened, whatever. And then in verse 5, Paul said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. I'm not going to read the but rather part. He wants them to prophesy. But anyway, he said, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak unto you by revelation or whatever? Okay. So now down in verse 13, it says, him that speaks in an unknown tongue, I pray that he may interpret. And then, okay, verse 14, that's the verse I wanted. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How simple does it get? It's simple to me because I started getting a revelation of it the other night in the middle of the night. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What will I do then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Otherwise, when you bless with the spirit, how shall those that occupy the room or of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks? And then in verse 18, Paul says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than all of you. What we've done, what has happened to the church, is people have prayed to speak in tongues rather than pray to be filled with the Spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
And the tongues are not the issue. But it is God's blessing to us, and I'm just starting to understand. And so it is in the... So in verse 21, and this is a copy of what it is in Isaiah 28:12. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that they will not hear me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I will speak in other tongues, but in spite of it, he said, they won't hear me. Wherefore, tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but them that believe. Anyway, when I had a lot of teaching on this by Don Burnett when I came back from Seattle, and we went to a Pentecostal church. And anyway, because I had the understanding, and people begin to realize that, I taught some Bible studies on receiving the Holy Spirit to a church that most of them in there had spoken in tongues longer than I had been, than I was alive. So it's like we can have an experience and without understanding what it is. You know what? I want to know what we got. Let me rephrase that thing one more time. God is so awesome and so unbelievable, and there's not a chance that you and I can pray the way He wants or that we can worship Him the way He wants. Not a chance. So what He did is He gave us something that makes no sense to us. He gave us a heavenly language. You know what it's called in another place in 1 Corinthians? It's called the language of angels. A heavenly language that He manipulates. Is that the right word? He worships Himself through us according to His own will, because we are not qualified. We won't be until we're out translated. Anyways.
Yesterday morning, I was asked to speak at a men's breakfast at the Christian Family Center, Tim King's church, and I brought something. And actually, I wish I'd heard what you had just said here, Keith, before I had brought it, because I would have added some things to it. But let me give you a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of what I was saying, and then kind of incorporate, because it ties in, at least in my head, it ties in with what you were bringing here, Keith. You know, the Bible says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. That's what it says in the King James. He transforms himself into an angel of light. The modern translations, the new NIV and so forth, says that he masquerades or he disguises himself. You know, he doesn't transform himself. But, you know, I looked up in my Vines Greek dictionary thing, and the word is metamorphosis. Means transforms. You know, like what a caterpillar does to a butterfly. It's not pretended to be, or, you know, it's not masquerading. It's he transforms himself. So I see it as kind of a mistranslation when they say he masquerades or he disguises himself. Paul said he transforms himself. I think it means he transformed himself. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I brought yesterday the movie. There was a movie, Walk the Line. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that. It was Johnny Cash, a biopic of Johnny Cash. And that actor, he was Johnny Cash. He wasn't pretending to be Johnny Cash. He was Johnny Cash. It was just uncanny the way he made himself into be Johnny Cash. I'm not at all sure it wasn't demonic, you know, or an element of it. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, he didn't act like Johnny Cash. He was Johnny Cash in that thing. And I think that maybe Satan can do that. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. Same as... No, I mean, he's not an angel of light, you know, but he sure could pull it off in an acting kind of way. Anyway, what chance do we have for someone who is capable of transforming himself in that way? We use our brain. We're not going to have any luck at all. You know, we'll be fooled by that. We'll be fooled sure shooting. We don't have a chance. The point I was looking to make was, and I was sort of backdoor, hey, listening to the Bible is a good idea. You know, I was make it your food. Like just as Jesus said during the temptation. Now, it's written, man's not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's kind of like food. Make it food stuff.
Yeah.
You know, make it food. Because we are what we eat. We are what we eat. And I think you can do an end run around the schemes of Satan by not having it be brain stuff, have it be digestion, your stomach stuff. Yeah. Do an end run around him, because we are what we eat, and I think we will recognize that masquerading if it doesn't match up with what is in us, what we are. You know, it's we'll know we're being fooled, not by our brain, but because the stomach says something else. And in that same way, I think tongues are an end run around the schemes of Satan. We know not by our mental processes, but by what comes out of our mouth, by our spirit. Our spirit knows. Mm-hmm. Our brain doesn't know. Our spirit knows that, no, we are being fooled. We will know the voice of the shepherd. And how do you know a voice? Is it really, you know, the crime investigators or whoever can do a voice analysis, but we don't do that. We don't do a run it through a computer or whatever. But we know a voice. I know Gene's voice. I don't know how I know Gene's voice, but I know Gene's voice. I've heard it a lot. And in that same way, we would know the voice of our shepherd by just knowing it, hearing it a lot. And as we take communion today, I wonder if the Lord isn't getting at that in some kind of way. Hey, we are to be part of Him. We are what we eat. You know, we will be when we'll know we're being fooled, or someone's trying to fool us, when it doesn't match up with what we are, what we are, by what we've eaten. But it's not going to be by being really smart. That won't do it. Being smart, all that is a trap. We'll know in the spirit from what has come out of our mouth. We'll know from, because it doesn't line up with what the stomach tells us.
I just wanted to add a little to that. Charlie read that sermon to me yesterday morning before he went off to his thing. So, and a few things, you know, kind of grabbed me. But just to say, okay, we know that it's God's word, and that is the truth, and we know, I mean, that's what we know. We know we have to have that. But we've always known that it wasn't up here, that it had to be by the Spirit that brought the truth. We had to eat it, bring it in. The more we take it in, the more it's in there for the Spirit to use. And then so adding the Satan, transforming himself into a spirit of light, really, well, the Bible says he's a deceiver, so he can deceive somebody into that. But taking what Keith was saying and praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues, guys. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. I would that you all spoke in tongues. and they go on a lot at my house between me and Charlie. I don't know who speaks in them more. We're always going around, you know, doing it. But because it does end run this, it goes right up there. I don't know what I'm saying. And as Keith said, manipulated, I think maybe a nicer word would be directed, directed by the Spirit, directed by God as to what we're going to pray. Those are perfect prayers. We're not praying anything wrong. I don't know what I'm praying, but it's what I'm supposed to be praying, okay? That's it. And so if we take this word and then we add to it that Spirit, oh, I think we're going to be unstoppable. And it can be pretty exciting to think that, you know, that's where we're going. That scripture that Charlie said, Paul is talking about Satan transforming himself into a spirit of light. But right before that, he's talking about ministers that are transforming themselves into ministers of Christ. And it's the same whole thing. And so, you know, we don't want to follow those ministers. We don't want to follow those ministers that are just transforming and just doing award-winning performances. And maybe they don't even know. I mean, I could name some. I could name some, but I'm not going to. I mean, but you think about it in the bigger world of the church and different things that go forth and that. And people can say to you, well, you shouldn't say that about them. But it's like, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and those things, you know. And, you know, they're supposedly very godly and everything. I'm just like, I want to know my God. I want to know my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to know His Word. And I don't care if I'm, it's never any, you know, I can be in this little church with just this little group of people. As long as I'm working towards doing what it is He wants done in my life. And then I'm supposing that that means, you know, if it's being done in my life, that then it would therefore have an effect out to others. Because, you know, if you're like Jesus, then, you know, he had an effect. So then therefore we would have an effect. Anyway, I'm all kind of babbling. But it's somehow really exciting.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Yeah, just if you're not filled with the Spirit, if you don't have the evidence of speaking in tongues from being filled with the Spirit, it's not the speaking in tongues, but it's being filled with the Spirit. But that is such a lovely tool. It is so helpful. You don't have to worry. You just do it. You just do it. And you feel yourself built up. I've started to feel a little bit down. Oh, if you looked at the world, oh, this horrible thing, just start praying in tongues. And you feel your spirit just builds right up. God gave us that. That is just so cool and so wonderful. Anyway, I'll quit babbling. But blessed Resurrection Day that the world celebrates, but whatever, we can celebrate it here too. Amen.
Couple of things that don't tie up with each other. You know, Kenny tells me all the time, Pablo, you need to speak in tongues. He tells me a lot every day, or maybe every other day at least. And she's right, very right. And but she kind of tells me like if it was up to me. You know, I mean, I don't know that it is up to me, really, is it? Keith, how do you do it?
Submit yourself.
Right.
There's a little bit of it up to you.
There's something I have to do, I suppose, but.
You're doing fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm just. I need to speak down. Oh, okay, here they go. Okay, I got them. God has got to do it. I've seen services like they're praying for people and they shove their microphone in their mouths until they speak in tongues. That's not it. And anyways, I was in need of prayer. We don't know how to pray. I so agree. And we don't know a lot of things, and not to pray is one of them. I was in need of prayer this week, and I knew what I needed, but I couldn't even put it together from God. All I could say was, Father, have mercy on me. Over and over, I have mercy. You do the rest. Just have mercy on me. Something else. Scripture. Jesus asked Peter, he says, these tax collectors and custom seekers, or whatever they are. I couldn't find the scripture, so I got to do it out of my head. He says, who do they collect taxes from? And customs and all that. From strangers or from the sons? Peter says, well, they only collect taxes and customs from strangers, not from their sons. And Jesus says, well, then, you know, the sons are free. So basically, you know, tax collector, you know, oh, you're my son. You don't have to pay taxes and you don't have to do any customs. But these strangers, they gotta pay. And Jesus couldn't care any less about taxes. He just go catch a fish, mouth, there's money in there. I don't think the teaching there is about who he paid taxes to. That I believe, there's so many teachings out of just one scripture, but one of them, I believe, is as we are the sons of God, we are also free of doing anything. We don't have to do nothing if you're the son of God. We don't have to, people feel that you have to do things, and I don't know, just you feel like you have to keep so busy and look godly and do all these things. Really, when you're the son of God, you don't have to pay nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You just be his son. Just be the son of God. You are free when the sons are free. Just relieve yourself. You are not in bondage. You got nothing to do. Just be the son of God. You don't have to pay nothing. Do nothing. Just... How easy is that? What are you gonna do? Nothing. Nothing. You know, of course you don't sin and eat the word like Charlie was saying, of course. But free yourself of your to-do list. There's no to-do list with God if you're his son. You're his son. Okay, if you're not, then you're gonna start doing all these things. Other thing, I shared a couple of months ago, I prayed for this guy that his back was bad, and God really led me to do it, and I prayed for him, and his back was horrible. And anyways, I saw him, and he was doing a lot better. He said, Pablo, he says, he's in public, he put his hand in my back, he said, hey, blah, blah. And we started talking, he's doing a lot better, and I was pretty thankful. So I was really thankful, but I guess his back is hurting again. And you know, he was supposed to get surgery, but when he was supposed to go to a doctor, he was like, well, I don't know if I have to go to a doctor anymore because he was feeling so good. But I think he's doing not so good again. And I know that God led me to pray for him. You know, I do care that he gets healed. So. I don't know. I just want to pray that God heals him, or that he leads me to pray again for him, or just get me out of the picture, or somebody else pray for him. But God did lead me to pray for him, and I don't know why. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know that God put me there to do that, and I just want him to be healed and to glorify God, and something else. This is a person I know through work. He's a plumber, and I saw him yesterday at High Rollers, a party for kids, and hey, how you doing? And I haven't heard so many bad news from one person until I met this guy yesterday, and he was doing really well, everything considering. I'm not going to tell you all the news, but he could do a 2020 on TV or something like that. He had a lot of bad news, but he's doing well. But he's got this personality, like, you know, a little swear word here and there, and he's kind of cool or whatever. So and I'm like, and I said, I'm not gonna talk to him. I mean, he's not gonna live. I was really like, I should tell him, you know, first of all, like. He needs to eat better. If that would make a big difference, and I didn't want to do that. And but somehow, I don't even know how, all of a sudden I started talking to him, and nothing spiritual yet, but like a prepare. And all of a sudden his eyes were just fixed. You know, they were just fixed on everything I was saying. I think I could have told him to eat his shoe, and he would have eaten it, and I'm like, wow! It caught me by surprise, because you think you know someone just by the way they act or something. But anyway, so I'm talking to him, and he's listening to everything I have to say, and he's looking at my eyes. He's fixed. And then Candy, she wasn't there. She comes in, and then she starts. She repeats everything I said to him, and. Long story short, then the party was over, you know, music is off. One of the reasons, and then we prayed for his daughter right there. We laid hands on her daughter. We prayed for her. And I said, the reason why I'm saying that is like, I never thought that this person would accept any of this, anything like this. And it was so unbelievable to me that happened, that he was so open and whatever. He gave me a hug at the end of when we sick. He said, he just gave me a hug. His wife gave me a hug. And I don't know, he said, that was really good, but I don't know what he said. So I know we pray at the end, but I like to pray right now for this guy's back, and I like to pray for this other guy, this plumber. That does what he knows what to do. So you guys want to join me right now? Father, I know you led me to pray for this person's back. Father, I ask you to touch him, heal him, Father. And if you open the door that I lay hands on him, that's what I do, or any other way, you just heal him, Father, because you do that. You're the healer. Father, I pray for this plumber. You know all the problems, Father. Take care of them, and you know what to do, Father. You know what they are, and even if you don't take care of his problems, Father, show him who you are. Show him who you are, Father, and save him. Save his life. Save his soul, his family, Father, and give him strength. Father, and save his soul, Father. I pray in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just want to tack on one tiny thing there. Pablo was saying he never would have thought that this guy would be open to the scriptures. He looks cool and stuff. Oh, boy, I know that. You know, I've done that myself. Make my own assessment of how open someone would be just on the way they come across. Well, that is so wrong. Boy, that's wrong. Shame on me. You know? Didn't stop Pablo. Might stop me, though. Shame on me.
God is good. All the time, he is. I was thinking about today. You know, it's a special day. And I was thinking, you know, really, why is it special? And it occurred to me, what makes today really special is God finally made the way for my salvation.
Yes.
The sacrifice was complete. The way for my salvation is because of today, which is maybe a little different slant. But it helped me, and I know it brought it home a little bit to me as to, you know, just exactly why, why we should be grateful and excited about today. If something else due to this in the comments today, you know, my Catholicism kind of sparked up the comment about, you know, we don't even know how to pray. And even the disciples recognized, you know, we don't even know how to pray. And so Jesus told them, you know, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, forgive me for my daily trespasses. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stopped right there because I thought, you know, in the first two lines, you glorify God and you ask for repentance. And it's that quick. And then, you know, the prayer goes on, but it's significant. Mm-hmm. You glorify God and then you ask for repentance. Because we sin every day, even when we don't want to. And we don't know. And Keith's revelation, or the beginning of a revelation about the Spirit and praying, you know, and it's deep. It's going to take a while for that to fully, you know, the full light to be shown on that. You know, God dwells within here, within our heart. And when you pray in tongues, you express your heart to God. You're giving back to Him. There's a couple of scriptures there about, you know, edifying myself, and it's better to give interpretations that I don't quite have all figured out that yet that need to come, because you certainly want to be letting God drive, and praying in tongues lets God drive. And as Gene was saying, bypassing or taking you out of the equation is the way I look at it. Brother Ken has often said tonight, it's important we got to grab onto it. It's not by one shred of your intelligence are you going to make it. It's going to be your heart for God. And I was listening to Brother Pablo this morning, and I was thinking, well, I think I got to do a couple things. And he came and he balanced it out. I mean, and all I'm going to say about that is we have to seek him, and we have to show faith. You know, I've got this little thing. This is my personal revelation, and it may even be not 100% accurate, but, you know, we talk about faith, and, you know, faith requires that you believe. And if you're looking for God, you have to demonstrate the faith, and you have to meet God. So I've always had this thing like, okay, this is where I want from God, and this is where I am. I just don't stand here and do nothing. I don't expect it to go like this. I have to go here, and God meets me. I have to demonstrate my faith, and He honors that. Can God do it without me? Yes, He can. Can God do anything He wants? Yes, He can. But I think in matters of faith, I think God is looking for you to walk in faith. And then He honors you. And He honors that. Anyways, that's helping me get through it. And it makes me say, you know, words are cheap. Actions are loud. You know. I think Pablo kind of brought a really good point and said it a different way. Some of us have been around. You know, what he was really coming against was, let's not do works. Let's show the heart of God. And we can do that. Finally, we say it, but sometimes maybe it comes across as not enough thought to it. You know, the enemy has the one goal right now, and that's to take our salvation away from us through deception. And he is very wily. He knows. And the only way that I think we can be prepared for that is to truly know God's Word. We have to be able to recognize the difference between the light of God and the metamorphosis of the angel of light. And it's not going to be for faint of heart, because the devil has been around a long time. He knows a lot. Yet, if God is here and you stand on God being here, He will guide us through that. He will help us through that. But as I like to say, it's a race that we have to keep on running and keep on seeking Him so He can keep on growing within us. You know, we speak about Jesus in the fullness of God. I don't believe that was an instantaneous. I think that was a process. I know in my case it's a process. Anyways, today's a wonderful day, because today's the day God finished the work and made it possible for me to join Him in the kingdom. And that's what I think we need to celebrate today.
kind of fun when Ken's not here. You know, I'll just jump up if there's more time. But I really wanted to get up because I forgot to say something before with what Ken was saying. But then I just thought it, when Corky was speaking, I just wanted to add on to that. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I think there was one other one that I just forgot, but so, okay, I forgot it. Charlie was saying, you know, your belly, and I kept thinking that just sounds so dummy, saying, oh, you'll know it in your belly if you eat it. You'll know it in your belly if it's good and it's your flesh. But, you know, the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I think it's indicative somehow of your whole being. But, you know, I think you can, in our flesh, we can kind of, something's not right. You know, you feel it there. And I think that's a reason. I think it's somehow the center of, you know, where our the flesh meets the spirit or something. We like to think it's up here in our little heart, you know. But I think we usually, our guts go when it's just not quite right. So, anyways, I just wanted to throw that in. But, yeah, blessings.
If you can, when I come up, if you close your eyes until I get up here, you'd be better off, probably. Yeah. I want to say, you know, just keep reminding us and reminding Pablo that receiving the Holy Spirit is the issue and not tongues, even if it might be an indication of it. And I'll tell you why. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Well, let me tell you something. When I received the Holy Spirit, I didn't know anything about tongues. And I was listening to a Lutheran evangelist, and he was telling about what had happened in his church. And all I knew is that this man had been praying for the sick and people were being healed. And so, anyway, at the end of his message, he told about a woman being raised from the dead, and at the end of his message and stuff, he says, is there anybody here wants to receive the Holy Spirit? And I raised my hand. I didn't really know what was going to happen. And a young fellow came and sat down beside me, and that's the last I remember for about 2 hours. Well, very few people have that kind of an experience, but I did. And I couldn't even talk in English for couple hours afterwards. It was just a muddled thing because it was such an unbelievable experience. Well, anyway, but the thing, I don't think that the message or the promise was given so that we would speak in tongues. The promise was given so you will be my witnesses. And Russ Barnett, Don Barnett's dad, prayed to get filled with the Holy Spirit for a number of years. And he prayed with other people who got filled with the Holy Spirit, who spoke in tongues. And he didn't. And whether there was a little hang-up someplace with him, I don't really know what the problem was. But meanwhile, he was praying for people and they were getting healed. He was praying for people and they were getting saved. They were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come. Did the Holy Spirit come upon him? Yeah. Is the Holy Spirit on Pablo? Yes. You know what happens? One of the things that happens when you know that you've been filled with the Spirit, I'll tell you what happens. The eyes or the ears of other people open up. Pablo was demonstrating something that became very obvious to me 50 years ago. It's like you can say something without the Spirit and they just look like you got seven heads. But when the Spirit is on you and you say something, you go, they're all eyes and they're all ears. That is the evidence. That is the evidence that the Spirit is on you. And so that's while we get condemned for something that that it takes God to give us. It does. It takes. God has already given it to you. He's given you the thing, the earnest, whatever you need, and we don't want to get anybody condemned over this. At the same time, keep asking. You just keep on asking. And I have watched Pablo, this transformation in this man and the people that he's talked to and the changes in what people, the way they're receiving it. And I'm thinking, who is this guy? How did I inherit this son-in-law? I mean, what good thing did I do, Pablo? I didn't do any good thing. But anyway, let's come up to the front and have communion. I never really did get a chance to finish some of the things I wanted to say, but they'll be on a CD tonight. And I am so thankful. And I'm so thankful for my wife. She's home. She didn't come. She could have come, I think, except she said, I don't think I got the energy. But anyways, I'm so thankful for the relationship that we have. It is so precious, and it's like, you know how people get so afraid, they get afraid that, well, am I going to be still married to you in heaven, you know? And you know what? Let me give you just a little bit of a blessing. Well, we're coming. We want to take communion, so let's kind of. Let's have Eli and Dominic pass out the emblems. Would you do that?
I'll drop the juice as well. When you invite them, we go.
And because of the understanding that we're getting, I'll leave this on. Because of the understanding that we're getting and the fact that Jesus is flesh and blood. You know, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the fact that we realize that he still is a man. I mean, maybe not having the same flesh and blood as we have, because he has been glorified. He's in a different state. But it says, when he appears, we shall be like him. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, quick. No, you can't tell me. I can't tell you.
But I don't know what that means.
No. How do we know what it means? I need to pick it up. There you go. Down by Eli.
What?
George, there too.
I want to get one.
I'm supposed to say no. You got a great job.
She's the one that didn't put her.
Do you want to grab one?
You know what happened to us, don't you?
Look at all these beautiful children. It's nice to have little children in church.
I love it.
I know. It's such a happy sound.
And I'm related to every one of them.
I know you are. But I'm not, but I still just love it.
Sure got a kick out of it.
It's very full. Somebody filled it very full. Yeah, good job. Now I gotta wait. Gotta wait. Wait till Grandpa tells me.
The Bible says that in the night that he was betrayed, and then, you know, he says, take this bread, said, this is my body, and do this in remembrance of me. And so we want to, it's a time of celebration. We're not even sure this is the exact day or whatever, but it's close, that's probably. And so anyway, we want to do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And the thing is, it says as often as you do this. It doesn't say that you do this every time you get together, but as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of him.
Yes.
And I'd like to ask God's blessing on this. Yes. And on the blessing of my family and my friends. I mean, I've got, you know, my brother Joel and my sister Beverly, and I've got all my Pablo and Candy and their children, and the
Raptor
Cole and pardon,
right. Yeah, Raptor, great grandchildren,
yeah, and enough to make a pretty good sized church, you know. Yeah, but anyway, and I'd like to say, you know, God bless you. I'm so glad you came here this morning for my sake. I mean, I'm getting to be an old guy, and it means a lot to me. It really does. Pablo is doing some things that I recognize as a profound thing. He's developing an interest in the eternal souls of people.
The Lord, yes.
And that's in me. I love it. I love what is in him. It's like he doesn't have to witness to these people. You know why he does? He wants to. Because all of a sudden you realize that eternal life is at stake. There's a kingdom coming. And so that's what you do. You know, you witness to him and you talk to him. And I don't have a lot of years left, but I tell you what is happening. Because I have been taken in the Word so much for so long, I am beginning to develop a hunger and an interest in people, and I want them to go to heaven. And the next thing about it, there is really is a heaven.
Yeah, I know.
There really is one. And you read the Word enough, it becomes, all of a sudden, it becomes a reality. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy.
Oh, yes.
I thank you for my family that are here this day and for others that are part with us, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to make plain and make it simple to us. Lord, your kingdom, to make simple to us the reason that we're taking communion this morning. And I ask you, Lord, by your goodness and your mercy, that you would bless this bread to the health of our bodies, Lord, to the health of our spiritual bodies, and Lord, cause us to be refreshed and to be thankful and to come to a place of closeness to you this morning. And I just ask it in the name of Jesus Christ for his sake. Amen. Let's partake of the bread. Charlie, would you ask God's blessing on the drink, on the body of the blood?
No, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We thank you. We thank you that you shed your blood for us, O Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you ask us to share in that.
Yeah.
We are to be part of what you did, O Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for making us family and more than family, O Lord, making us you in some kind of way, O Lord. So, Lord, that we would do that, that we wouldn't just think of it as just a religious ceremony, but that we would take
yes.
it in.
Yes.
Part of what we are.
Yes.
Not our brain, but part of what we are, O Lord, by your Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, and we ask for a blessing now.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake. Lord, we are so thankful. And I thank you for each one that is here. And I ask you, Lord, to make yourself real. Whatever it takes, Lord, I am asking you to make yourself real to each one. Lord, Lord, as you are making yourself real to me and to others, Lord, make yourself real to us. Even as we have questions and doubts and fears and things in our lives, Lord, just calm the storm, take care of these things, and make yourself real. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah.